Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Check it, 19 and a half minutes past the hour. This is the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, WBC Boxing TV. We come to you Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Saturday for an hour, Sunday for 2 hours. Live right here from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Now we take it to the south of the border and bring in boxing royalty, folks. I'm talking about a two-division world champion coming off the knockout of the year. What can I say about Oscar Valdez? He's handsome, he's articulate, and he's on the show. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how's it going, man? Very excited to be here with you guys.
Man, we're excited to have you. You're like the hottest thing in boxing right now.
It's literally a dream come true, to be honest. You know, I'm very excited for all this that's going on. You know, I dream about these moments, and I'm living it right now.
I got to ask you this, Oscar. I mean, I knew you were a great fighter. I watched you when you had the 126-pound title and this and that, and people sort of, I guess, dismissed you because I looked at some of those internet betting-wise, and you're like a 5-to-1 underdog.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. You know, there was times where I started even doubting myself because everybody, all the boxing analysis and comments through everywhere, the bets, the odds were all against me. And, you know, there was times where I kept on asking myself, you know, is that real? And there was a fight battle between my own self. You know, I kept on telling myself that's not real. I'm working too hard. Losing is not an option for me. And, you know, I just put the time and the effort in the gym. There was no way in hell he was going to beat me.
You know, you and I, we both have those two little people, the person on our shoulders, the one on the left side, the one on the right side. Of course, the right side always keeps you honest. Are you doing enough? Are you doing the road work? Are you putting in the time in the gym, the whole 9 yards? That's that side that makes you a great fighter, man. That's what separates you from the other people. You understand what I'm saying?
And that's always on my mind, to be honest. You know, it doesn't matter how hard I work. I always put in the hard work in the gym. I always go back to the spot where I'm staying at. And I ask myself, did I give it the 100% that I needed to do? Because if you don't give it 100%, that could be the difference if you win the fight or not. You know, every day is that you got to just push it out, work hard, leave the gym exhausted. That's my work ethic. That's my mindset. And, you know, to this day, it's been working out. So I'm always keep that mindset.
Okay. Oscar Valdez is our guest, of course, the WBC and Linear Ring Magazine 130-pound world champion, coming off the knockout of the year a fortnight ago of Mikhail Berchelt. A 5-to-1 underdog in some people's books. Well, I thought that was like a bit off the wall. He is 30 years old, 29 in zip, 23 kills. As I said, a former WBO title holder at 126, now the world champion and WBC title holder at 130 pounds. Talk to me about your start. Where are you from? And you speak perfect English. Have you spent some time in the United States? What's up?
I was born in Nogales, Sonora, when I was just about one and a half years old. My father and my mother moved to Tucson, Arizona, where I did my elementary school. I did it over there in Tucson. So that's why my English is pretty good.
Pretty good?
As a kid. Yeah, man, you know,
it's perfect.
Kid, you absorb everything and you learn everything very so quick. And it just stuck with me. You know, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, my father got a divorce with my mother and I decided to go with my father. I was always very attached to my father, you know, always very close to him. And I decided to go with him. And that's where my boxing career started. Ever since I was 8 years old, I stepped in the boxing gym following my father's footsteps and I fell in love with the sport. To this day, my father is still with me in the corner. He's my manager. He's my trainer. He's my best friend, and he's my father at the same time. So, you know, I'm glad that he pushed me to be the person that I am right now.
Well, let's credit your father, no doubt about that. Now, let's talk about, you came from Sonora. I mean, you were like, you and Belcher were both originally from Sonora, Mexico, the same state. Is that it?
No, we're actually, I'm from Nogales, Sonora. He's from Yucatan. Down in the down south Mexico, but we both train here in Hermosillo. We both live here. We're pretty much neighbors. That's something that was pretty crazy. You know, we've got the chance to see each other different occasions. We pretty much run at the same spots. We eat at the same restaurants. You know, there's a great possibility I might, you know, see Berchelt in the streets in the next couple of days because we pretty much, like I said, we're neighbors.
You know, that scene with you and him after the after the fight with you kneeling in front of him and he was on the stool. I got to tell you, I've been in the, around this game a long, long time, and I think both me and Mauricio, we both almost cried when we saw that. It was just like, it was so emotional. It was just, it was heavy.
And it was real. It was real, the feelings that we had. We said it before this fight, you know, once this contract was signed, you know, all that friendship was out the window. You know, there was no friendship once the fight was signed, once the contract was signed. But prior to that, you know, we're great friends. You know, he's a great person. He's a great champion. And we said it, win or lose, you know, we're still going to be friends, and we're still going to be partners in the boxing world, and that's what we did. You know, after the fight, you know, I don't wish him nothing bad. There was times where I was obviously I was jumping around excited because I accomplished my dream to become a WBC world champion. That's something I always dreamed of ever since I was 8 years old. So of course I was very excited, jumping up and down. But the moment I saw him not reacting, not getting up, that worried me, and it worried me a lot because I don't wish him nothing. I don't wish him nothing bad. On the contrary, once he got up, that's the reason why I stepped up to him. I walked up to him, got on my knees, and I told him that I wish him nothing but the best, and that he has a brother here with me. And I told him that soon we're gonna see each other here in Hermosillo, Sonora, and just go out and eat, go have a good time. Because like I said, I don't wish him nothing bad.
Okay. Tell us what it's like. You got Eddie Reynoso working with you, of course. I saw a picture of you and him in the ring afterwards. What's the idea of the finger in front of the mouth? What is this quiet? What does that mean?
Well, it was a lot of people, talking, saying that they were going to knock me out, telling them my career was over, that I wasn't the same fighter after after I got my jaw broken. And that really bugged us, you know, it bugged me, and, you know, I really don't take nothing personal. I really don't.
You took that personal.
But for some reason, this fight was special, and, you know, I took it from heart. You know, people doubted me. A lot of my own friends, will tell me that fight wasn't good for me because I was going to lose. So that message was to all those people who doubted me and who kept on, running their mouth and saying that I was going to lose. But at the same time, you know, I'm just very happy that we won. You know, hopefully no one got offended with the finger. Like I said, you know, it was a very special moment for me. That's why all those emotions were going through my mind. And that's why Eddie Reynoso and myself, we told them with the finger to, you know, to keep the mouth quiet.
You know, Burchell was a big guy, a huge guy body-wise, maybe weighed like 140 pounds in the ring, if not more. Size matters in two things: pornography and combat sports. Are you at a size disadvantage at 130 pounds?
Well, I've always been like this. You know, I've always been the shorter fighter in all the cages. Ever since I was in the Olympics fighting at 123 pounds, I was small. And then when I was 126 fighter, I was a small fighter. And now going up to 130 pounds, you know, there's nothing new to me being the smaller fighter in the ring. You know, but. Burchett was a bigger fighter. You know, there was something that I haven't faced before as far as a bigger advantage. I knew every moment that if he lands that one big shot, the fight's over, because he carries a big heavy hand, and he's probably weighing 145 pounds the night of a fight. So I was very cautious inside the ring, not letting him, you know, get the advantage, not letting him be too comfortable in there. Always beating him to a punch, the counter punch, and moving my legs. That's all that we worked out in the gym, and it worked out. You know, so the size advantage didn't work out so well.
Okay, Oscar Valdez, our guest, of course, the WBC 130-pound champion. Do you like go right back into training, or do you like kick back like Roberto Duran and get fat? What do you do between fights?
Well, the advantage that I've had, you know, the experience that I've had already, is that I've been a champion before at 126, and I've made some mistakes, and you learn from those mistakes. The first time I became world champion, I celebrated for a whole month. You know, I didn't do nothing for a whole month. I was with my family. We went down to the beach. You know, we were you know, just enjoying ourselves, you know, knowing that we accomplished our dream to become a world champion, 126 pounds. And then when I got back to the gym, it was the worst experience of my life, because it was very hard for me to get back in shape, knowing that I had a fight in front of me. I had a fight in front of me against a Japanese fighter, Irushiwi Osawa, And for that fight, I wasn't even 70% ready for that fight. And it was very scary because I could have lost my title belt in my first title defense. So I told myself I'm never going to let that happen again. So now that I'm a world champion at 130 pounds, I promised to myself that I wasn't going to let that happen. So as soon as I won this fight, I gave the body a rest for a whole week, and then I went back to the gym. I got to stay ready because I know there's a lot of hungry young fighters out there. They're going to want to take this belt. So I got to be very disciplined. I got to be very smart about this. Stay in the gym, stay ready, so I don't have to get ready. That's my mindset, and you know, and it's been working out so well right now. You know, I just got back from the gym right now. I'm here with you right now, but you know, first things first, we've got to hit the gym first, and that's my mindset right now.
Understood. Canelo is the exception to the rule. In the old days, you know, between fights, guys would, you know, have a few drinks and get loaded and get fat and that kind of good stuff. But he sort of, I mean, even Julio Cesar Chavez talked about all the cocaine he did in between fights. But Canelo's been clean as a whistle. Does he set an example? And do you realize that if with your English ability, your ability to speak English, that possibly you could become a bigger star than Canelo in time?
I mean, you know, you learn from these, you know, he's a great role model to not only me, but to a lot of young people out there. You know, he's a very, very disciplined fighter. And I once told him that. I told him, you know, you have a great image. You know, I have never seen something bad against you, you know, outside the boxing gym. And that's very hard when all the eyes are on you, where people are, you got paparazzis and this and that. To keep a clean image is very hard unless you really are that disciplined. And Canelo Alvarez is one of those fighters who was disciplined. So you learn from this. I also consider myself a disciplined fighter, but, you know, I don't got all the eyes that Canelo has. So, you know, me and him have talked about this before, and he says the key to all this is being disciplined. Staying in the gym, staying, you know, positive, not letting the crowd or letting the fans get the best out of you or believing it too much that you're a rock star or that you're a famous person. You always got to stay humble, stay in the gym, work hard, and all the fights, you know, will eventually become victorious.
When you watch old fights on TV, what fighters do you like to watch?
My favorite fighters to watch would definitely be Marc Antonio Barrera and Eric Morales. That trilogy marked my life. You know, I mean, marked something that I've always wanted to be one of those fighters. You know, and this fight with Lacran Bichette and myself, I kept on comparing them to my idols, which is, like I said, Marc Antonio Barrera and Eric Morales. And I kept on saying, you know, I don't want to ever try to compare myself to my idols, but hopefully one day I give a great fight like these fighters did. And inspire young fighters the same way these fighters inspired me.
Okay, what do you? How can I put this? How has life changed a bit in Mexico now that you're a WBC champion? You walk down the street. I mean, what's it like from one day to the next?
It definitely changed a lot. I mean, I've been a little famous ever since I came back from the Olympics back in 2012. Then I became a little bit more famous when I became a WBO world champion at 126 pounds. But nothing like this, you know, nothing like this where I, as soon as I crossed the border, my whole hometown was out there waiting for me. It was very emotional. I was very proud to be a Sonoran fighter. It was a very special moment for me because we didn't plan this. I never told my people I was going to be there at this time. And I'm going to, you know, I'm away from my crowd. We never planned this. It just turned out to be people were waiting for me as soon as I crossed the border. As soon as I crossed the border, I had to have security put me in an ambulance. In the firefighter truck, put me up there and give me a ride. And my whole hometown was waiting for me, cheering for me, throwing items at me so I could sign them. It was very special. It was a very special night. And, you know, it kind of reminded me of the old days. Where you see Julio Cesar Chavez coming back to his hometown and his whole hometown was waiting for him. And I kept on, you know, pinching myself. Is this real? Because it's literally a dream come true.
Okay. Let's talk about Frank the Wiz Espinoza. You know, I broke him in. You know that, right? I broke Frank in here. I mean, he cut his first interviews on this show like 30 years ago.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I have to remind him that.
What's it like being around the Wiz? I love him.
Oh, no, he's a great part of my life. You know, he's helped me become who I am right now, and I'm forever will ever be grateful to everybody who helped me become the person that I am right now, and it helped me accomplish my dreams. So he's definitely a big part of my life, and I forever will be grateful for him.
Okay. What about your future opponents? I mean, can you name a couple that you would like to fight, or anybody that you have in mind?
Yeah. Yes. There's a couple of fighters who I would definitely would love to fight, and one would be Shakur Stevenson. Shakur Stevenson is a great fighter. He's a great softball fighter who has been calling me out for a long time already. He kind of gave me a bad reputation, saying that I moved out of the division to not fight him, which is not true. I've never ducked no fighter. I've never been scared of no fighter. I've been fighting ever since I was 8 years old, inside and outside the ring. There's no reason for me to fear any fighter. That's one fighter who I would love to fight, and another one would be the winner of this coming fight, Jermaine Herring and Carl Frampton. I would love to unify my title belt. You know, I think it's a great fight with the winner of Jermaine Herring and Carl Frampton. And another fighter who just came out of a tremendous win, knocking out Leo Santa Cruz, Gervonta Davis. You know, Gervonta Davis, I think, will be a great fight.
Yeah, but you might have to bail him out.
Yeah, I heard the bad news about him. It's very unfortunate. You know, seeing young fighters go through these problems. You know, we're fighters, and we should be in the gym. We should be very disciplined. We have a great responsibility as champions. And we need to take those responsibilities very seriously. It's very unfortunate to Gervonta Davis. I wish him nothing but the best. I wish that he comes out of this problem soon, because we want to make these great fights happen for the fans. The fans is one of the most important things out there. If it wasn't for the fans, we wouldn't be here and getting this the paydays that we need to have.
Oscar, so, I'm running up on a hard break. I want to thank you for appearing on Ring Talk WBC Boxing TV. Come back soon.
I would love to talk. I'm always here to talk about great boxing anytime.
The great Oscar Valdez on WBC Boxing TV, Ring Talk Live Worldwide.